It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to Fresh Oil. I'm your host, Keith Manley, and it's just so good to be coming your way today. I'm in the middle of a teaching series on the seven letters to the seven churches found in the book of Revelation. Today, we're in chapter 2, going to pick up with verse 12. John is dictated seven letters from Jesus, and he will later give them to a courier who will transport these letters to seven churches and read to them what Jesus was saying to them. Now, each letter has a format that they follow. First of all, Jesus will identify himself with a part of the vision John saw in chapter 1, and it relates to that church in a specific way. Then, if there is something good to say about the church, he always begins by telling them what they're doing right. He shares the good, and then he shares the bad. He shares with them the correction that they need to do, and he calls them into repentance. And then the last thing he does is he gives them a promise to the overcomer. Now, today we come to this letter written to the church of Pergamum. It's the third out of the seven. Pergamum was the capital of the Roman province of Asia. It was also a center of pagan worship. There were several temples there that were dedicated to Zeus, Athena, Dionysus, and Asclepius, the god of healing. Again, like the previous church that we shared yesterday, Smyrna, they were also a center of emperor worship. This is the first city in Asia to build a temple to Caesar, and it really made it a stronghold for this imperial cult worship. Now, we begin today with verse 12. Again, if you have a red letter edition of the Bible, this is Jesus speaking, so it's in red. He says, "To the angel of the church in Pergamum write." Now, we brought out in the beginning of this series that the word angel here was a Greek word that meant messenger. So he's referring to the pastor of the specific church here in Pergamum. He says this, "These are the words of him who has the sharp, double-edged sword." Now, I told you that Jesus always identifies the vision that John had in chapter 1, the vision of the glorified Christ. He identifies with a part of that vision that's specific to this church. Notice what it is here. It's the sharp, double-edged sword that was coming out of his mouth. That sharp, double-edged sword is the word of God. In verse 13, he says, "I know where you live, where Satan has his throne, yet you remain true to my name." Now, a lot of times we feel we might live in a bad city, or we live in a state that is very difficult or very anti-God. But you know what, my friend? This particular church was right where Satan had his throne. It's very possible that Jesus was referring here to the Temple of Zeus, which had a massive altar in Pergamum. And yet Jesus commends this church for their faithfulness. He said, "Yet you remain true to my name. You did not renounce your faith in me, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness who was put to death in your city where Satan lives." See, Antipas, tradition tells us Antipas was burned alive inside of a bronze bull for refusing to worship Caesar. Jesus sees everything. He knows everything you and I go through. He saw this church and he says, "I know where you live. I know you're up against incredible odds where Satan actually dwells. This is the city where Satan lives," he said. Wow, how would you like that hanging over your city? The city where Satan lives. Now, Jesus is going to tell them what they're doing wrong after he commends them for their faithfulness. He says in verse 14, "Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. You have people there who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin by eating food that was sacrificed to idols, and by committing sexual immorality." Now, Numbers chapter 22 through chapter 25 speaks about Balaam. And Balaam advised this man named Balak to corrupt Israel by leading them into idolatry and sexual sin. And Jesus is coming out against this. He says, you have people there who are holding to these teachings. He speaks of compromise in the church. There's some in Pergamum who were participating in idolatrous feasts and sexual immorality. They also had the Nicolaitans there. He says, you have those who hold to the teachings of the Nicolaitans. This was another heretical group that encouraged moral compromise. See, today we need to apply this into our churches and our life, because churches today, they face the same danger, compromising biblical truth for cultural acceptance. This is not acceptable by God, and he's calling on them to repent. In verse 16, he says, repent therefore. I've always taught you, when you see the word therefore, stop and see what it's there for. He's going to say something heavy. Repent therefore, otherwise I will soon come to you and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Wow, if they refuse, Christ is saying he will bring judgment through his word. I will come and fight against you. See, friend, when we drift into compromise, God calls us to repentance before judgment comes in our life. Jesus commands the church to turn away from compromise here. Now, how does this apply in our lives today and in our churches today? I believe God wants us to know today that we need to remain faithful even in hostile environments. Even when we are in an environment that's very anti-Christ, very anti-God, we can still remain faithful to him and not compromise the truth of God's word. Friend, beware of compromise. That's when you mix truth with error, and it's very dangerous. We need to repent when necessary. Christ called on the church of Pergamum to repent and come back to purity. Now he's going to say to them in verse 17, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He always commands every church to listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to him who receives it. Now, in the Bible days in ancient times, both the Greeks and the Romans had a custom of noting friendship by using these white stones. They would break the stone in half, and each would write their name on the stone, and then they would exchange their parts of the stones. And producing either half was enough to ensure that the other party would come to their aid if they needed help. Kings also did the same thing. A white stone would be broken in half, and the king would keep one part, and he would give the other part to his ambassador. And the ambassador could send the stone to the king at any time, and the king would provide aid to help them in time of need. You see, the white stone is really signifying friendship and love. And Jesus is telling them here, I'm going to give you a white stone, you overcomers. You'll receive a white stone that has a new name, known only to him. Not only did he give them a white stone for the overcomer, but he said, I'm going to give you some of the hidden manna. What is he referring to there? Just as manna met the physical needs of the Israelites back in the Old Testament as they were passing from Egypt into the Promised Land. For 40 years as they wandered through the wilderness, God fed them with manna from above. So, in this new covenant, Jesus is our hidden manna. He provides our spiritual nourishment, and in him, the bread of life, we are sustained. Now, there are four basic themes that we learn by studying the Church of Pergamum. First, God calls us to be faithful in the face of adversity. The church in Pergamum reminds us of the importance of being steadfast in our faith, even when we're going through persecution and pressure from this world. He also, secondly, taught us the dangers of compromise, that the church struggles today with false teachings that come our way, and we have to be very careful not to compromise with the world, even in subtle ways. Thirdly, he taught us the importance of repentance. Jesus called this church into repentance, that it's needed for the believer to examine our hearts and our lives and to turn away from sin and embrace the truth of God's word. And then the fourth and final thing he taught us here was the rewards of being an overcomer. He promised the hidden manna, the sustenance that comes from the bread of life, Jesus Christ, and the white stone with a new name that offers hope and encouragement to those who've remained faithful and who overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Maybe this is where we get the old hymn song, "There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine." Now, in closing today, let me speak about the historical significance of this letter to Pergamum. Let's talk about the time period that this represented in history. The Church of Pergamum represented the time from Constantine, the Edict in Milan in 313 AD, up until about 590. This is the church age after Constantine legalized Christianity, and Christianity became the state religion, and it led to spiritual compromise, where they mixed pagan practices with Christianity. Constantine took pagan holidays, and he made them Christian. He tried to mix the two together. It also spoke of political and church power merging, to be careful to not be corrupted by trying to be swayed and moved by politics. And thirdly, the corruption within church leadership. The purity of faith was challenged as worldly influence crept in to the church. See, the Church of Pergamum actually was the worldly church. This was a church that tried to be like the world. We have to be so careful today, friend, not to let the world creep into our church. It's okay for the church to be in the world, but it's not okay for the world to be in the church. See, we're called to go into all the world and preach the gospel, but we have to be so careful that we don't allow the hypocrisy and the just the moral corruption from the world to creep into the church and change our teachings and change everything we believe. We're sharing from the book of Revelation seven letters that were written to seven churches. Maybe you've always shied away from the book of Revelation. Maybe you thought it's something that you cannot understand. But I want you to know, I've always been fascinated by this book. It's the only book in the entire Bible that begins and ends with a promise. And that promise is to those who hear it and those who take it to heart. And I trust today, friend, in this series, as we dive deeper into these seven letters to seven churches, that you'll be blessed as we dive into the book of Revelation. It's a fascinating book. I believe we're living in the times of the book of Revelation. We're living certainly in the times that Jesus spoke about in Matthew 24, which he called the times of the last days, or the times that would precede his second coming. And I just trust today that you'll be blessed by what you're hearing here on Fresh Oil. Join me again tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to get into the church of Thyatira. That's tomorrow right here on Fresh Oil, Walking Grace.
We are excited to announce the release of Keith's new book entitled This Is My Story. Available now on Amazon.com for only $9.95 in paperback or $14.95 for hardcover. You can also order the ebook for your Kindle. This book is filled with stories telling the defining moments in Keith's life and career. In this book, Keith takes you on a journey from his early days as a gospel singer touring in CCM music to a pivotal moment when he faced a serious health challenge, as told in a chapter entitled, God Don't Waste Pain. Through his experiences, you will be inspired and challenged to embrace the story God has uniquely planned for your life. Order today on Amazon.com. Just search Keith Manley, This Is My Story.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He makes His mercies new every morning.